Welcome to the Community Karma Podcast with Aaron Jones and Carrie Hill. Join in as they discuss building community, branding, and how any business can benefit from a holistic approach to growth.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Community Karma Podcast. I'm Carrie Hill, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime. Is it crime? Is it a crime, Aaron? And success. That's right, Aaron Jones. Hey, Aaron, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We are going to talk a little bit today about business-to-business community collaboration and how to kind of build your network or your local community or virtual community by partnering with businesses that complement what you do. Maybe they contrast what you do. Maybe they're competitors. You know, there's a lot of different ways to approach that kind of business to business networking, but I think it can be lucrative, right? But
I think so. I mean, I know it's not real surprising that collaboration is one of those things that gives me warm fuzzies because we talk about it quite a bit. But I think that anytime you can utilize a partnership to elevate each other together, why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that people get so focused on their consumer, their client, their customer, that they forget that, you know, they can step outside that box a little bit and find other opportunities to add value to their message, right? So if you're a hotel and there's a dinner theater down the street, why in the world would you not try and work out some kind of a collaborative package with them where, you know, you could both market dinner and a movie and a night out. It could be a Valentine's Day thing since that's coming up soon, or, you know, an anniversary package or something like that. You know, those are the more obvious kind of types of collaboration, but you would be surprised at how many businesses don't even think, you know, even one little step outside that box, let alone completely outside the box.
For sure. And I think sometimes businesses are collaborating with each other without quite realizing it. You know, one of my favorite local examples is we have this really cool new boutique hotel opening up in the town that I live in. And it's this 1940s themed, just it's swanky. There's cool restaurants, there's live music. And before they opened, they were doing these really cool promotions for about a year before they opened. And they utilized a local car museum to do this really neat photo shoot. So they hired dancers from one of the local dance schools and had a local videographer, photographer, and hair and makeup crew come in and style the shoot. So there were six or eight local businesses all together, and they had these dancers in front of a car from the 1940s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of these different local businesses came together to put together this really cool ad package. And it came together so well, and they, by doing that, supported five or six local businesses. And then when the ad came out, because this is it's a fairly small big town, if that makes sense. You know, a lot of us have been here a long time, so people were going, oh, my friend took those pictures, or that's my friend, the dancer. And it picked up a lot of momentum online because of, I mean, it was oozing goodwill. It made me so happy. So, you know, there are all kinds of ways you can do that. Or, you know, talk about if you've got the museum down the street from the hotel, can we team up and get some sort of shuttle system going so that we're literally dropping people off at our community partner's door and then picking them up and bringing them back to have dinner at the hotel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's, you know, in your example, you know, you're talking about six or seven local businesses, plus all the people that are involved with or work for those local businesses, and all of their customers who see the marketing of that collaboration. when it comes out. And you know, you're creating this giant honeycomb of contact of people who are seeing your hotel or your makeup or hair work or your dance academy students, or, you know, like, this is how networking used to happen, right? Before we had the internet. And I think that people have thought, well, I can just, you know, build a website and they will come. And that's not how business works. People who run businesses know that doesn't work.
Absolutely. And if you try it, it's usually pretty disappointing unless you get lucky and have, you know, the random thing go viral that gets people knocking down your door. And another thing that I think scares a lot of business owners with things like this is that they're afraid to give away a piece of the pie because they don't realize that everyone is not their competition for dollars.
Right. And you know, we run into it a lot, I think, still, even though that, you know, old adage, it takes money to make money, has been around for hundreds of years. We still run into people who aren't willing to invest in their own success. And I think that the nice thing about partnering with other businesses is you get to kind of spread that risk out, right? Like, you're not hiring everybody and laying all the money out and taking all the risk when they're kind, you know, if the dance academy is getting photo proofs for their flyers and online ads and website out of it, and the hair and makeup people are getting, you know, photos of their work that they can use. And if you kind of all come together and say, let's create this really cool visual art, but let's kind of split the cost between all of us and all kind of take our little piece of the pie and talk about each other.
Right. Connect our customers with these right. other businesses that they may not have known about.
Because, you know, the hair and makeup people, they get called to do weddings all the time. And while they're doing a consultation with a bride, they may be talking about what hotel should we have our event at, or, you know, where should we stay and where should we have the wedding? And they're like, oh, you know, we shot this really cool ad campaign at a car museum. And, you know, this cool 40s hotel was part of it. And that would be a really great theme. You know, like, there's
exactly
opportunity for them to talk about your business if they know about your business. And so I think that there's, you know, so much that can go right. Of course, being very specific about whose responsibility is what and having agreements with everybody that's involved is very important. You know, these are the 10 things we need to do. These are whose responsibility these pieces are. This is what your deadlines for this work is. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be very specific in your organization to make sure that nobody gets left behind or doesn't understand what's going on, because you definitely don't want to create an enemy in your local community.
Certainly. And you don't want someone going rogue and making promises that they can't keep on your behalf, or, you know, there are definitely things that you need to be aware of. But I think that choosing those collaboration partners carefully will really help mitigate some of that risk.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, that comes down to doing a little bit of homework and meeting with people and having multiple meetings with people before you jump into some kind of big event or thing, or big for you. It might not be big in the grand scheme, but for a small business, something that costs them $500 to $1,000 in marketing, that's kind of a big deal, right? So don't get married before you date, I guess is the way
I completely
we talk
agree.
About that.
It kind of goes back to that know, like, trust factor. You know, if you go in on a photo shoot with three other businesses before you know who they are, and then they're involved in a huge scandal and your image is permanently burned next to theirs in this picture that's going around, you know, there are obviously ways to absolve yourself of the association and things, but it's a lot more work than just doing your homework up front and knowing, you know, like you said, who you're marrying before you get to know who they are.
Right. The 90-day fiance thing, right? I hear that's a TV show. I don't watch that crap, but whatever. And I think, you know, when you have a successful collaboration like that, it opens doors for you to have more successful collaborations, because maybe somebody comes to your venue partner, the museum in our example, and they're having an event, and they're like, you know what, we really should get some rooms nearby, or you know, we want a really cool venue for this other thing we're doing, and you don't have enough space. But if they've partnered with the car museum, for example, and the theater and the hotel, you know, then there's the, oh, I know exactly who you need to collaborate with on that. And you get recommendations from the people that you've collaborated with in the past. If you're a good partner, you're going to get recommendations for future opportunities as well, right?
Yeah, and it's really cool to see it play out. You know, this car museum example, they had a really, really big event back in the fall, and they did it to kind of showcase what their event venue could be. You know, it's not just a museum. It can turn into all these really cool things. And since they had that event, they brought in these amazing performers. They had aerialists, I guess they would be called, not aerialists. They were performing, and then they had these amazing singers, and I'm seeing these singers get hired more for local jobs, and I'm seeing the aerialists in pictures for other local businesses, and it, you know, my warm fuzzies are there. It makes me so happy to see people go, oh, these performers were phenomenal. Now you need to get them. And the support and the word of mouth, you know, they donated their services for this event because it benefited the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Mm-hmm. So they gave up a night of their lives and put on their costumes and, you know, rehearsed and performed. And it looks to me like it's absolutely paying off, because their fan base has increased. Their kind of network for who's hiring them has increased. And it seems to really have worked out well for everyone.
So let's talk for a few minutes about kind of how you set up these collaborations. And, you know, there's Carrie the introvert's least favorite way, which is to just go knock on some doors. You know, that gives me the hives. But, you know, if you have a good idea, reach out to the owner or the manager of that other business and say, hey, what do you think about this? And see if you can, and maybe start small. Maybe it starts small with a, hey, let's do a dinner and a event kind of thing. You know, maybe you're a restaurant and you're partnering with what am I trying to think of, Aaron? Like a show, a local theater group. Why couldn't I find the word theater group in my brain? God. But you're partnering with
up our schedule. We usually have coffee and then podcast. And tonight we did a full work day and we're trying to podcast.
That's right.
Sorry, everyone. Sorry. This is a new version of us. Might get weird.
Weirderist. Yeah. So yeah, if you're a restaurant and you're partnering with a theater group that is, you know, having a run nearby, and you say, hey, let's partner together and do this little dinner and a movie package, and it works out great, then maybe the next thing you do together is a little bit bigger, or you bring another partner in. Like, it doesn't have to be the Taj Mahal the first thing you do together.
Yeah, and if they're not comfortable promoting you for the dinner, say, hey, can I send 5 servers down with trays of appetizers to hand out in the lobby before the show or during intermission? No cost to you. You know, let me show you what I can do. And when everybody loves it, then they're going to come back to you and say, hey, what can we do next? That was fantastic. It didn't cost me anything. My fans loved you. My staff loved you. You cleaned up after yourselves before you left. You know, sometimes you have to put yourself out there a little bit, and it might cost you a little bit financially or effort-wise to show someone what you're about. But if they haven't already established that relationship with you, it's kind of a good way to get out there and say, hey, look, this is who we are and what we're all about, and this is why we're awesome and why you should want to hang out with us.
For sure. And, you know, that can go to, like, maybe you co-sponsor a Friday afternoon club event. You know, you're a little boutique shop, and there's a restaurant next door to you. And maybe you guys do a, you know, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. happy hour where you display what you sell and they showcase their signature drink and a couple appetizers. And, you know, you fill up your store and fill up their seats for a few hours. You know, it doesn't have to be a foundational event to be lucrative for both sides.
Exactly. And you're fostering some goodwill within your community. You know, they get to come check out the boutique and have a snack, and people love free food.
Yeah, so right.
if you have a restaurant or you have a shop where you can bring a restaurant in with some signature snacks, do it, because people will always show up for free food.
Yep. Free food and a glass of wine, and even Carrie the introvert is very tempted.
Well, and if you give them wine, then they're going to start shopping.
Yeah.
That's where the trifecta of goodness happens.
Yep. Food, wine, and shoes.
Yeah, I'll move in. You got
yep.
me.
So
how can you do that for your brand? Say you're not a boutique or a restaurant. Say you're an insurance office.
Mm-hmm. I think you got to find the places where complementary businesses market themselves. You had a good example in our little pre-talk. You said maybe you sponsor a hole at a golf tournament and, you know, get yourself some exposure to other complementary businesses. So you're an insurance agent, you sponsor a hole, but there's also a mortgage company that's sponsoring a hole and home inspection or HVAC company that's sponsoring another hole. And so you're all there promoting your businesses, having some fun, playing a little golf. You know, that's a good way to kind of open that door to a partnership of collaboration in the future, for sure.
Definitely. And, you know, a good thing about something like that is if you team up with complementary businesses like that, you know, we probably haven't talked about it much on here, but Carrie, you know, I am in the throes of remodel hell right now with my house. And we learned the hard way that we will not hire a single contractor without a personal recommendation. Now, I really trust my carpenter. So if my carpenter says, hey, this inspector is good, you can feel comfortable with them in your home, that's a personal recommendation to me. Now, if that inspector gives a $20 or $50 kickback to the carpenter, cool. But either way, they're sending each other business, and then I'm promoting both of them now. So,
yeah, for
you
sure.
know, this is really exponential with these kinds of things, and it helps with that trust factor that you can't buy.
For sure. And I think if you're the business and you want people to recommend you, then you need to get on your pony and work hard to earn that respect and that recommendation. I know that you have run into this and I have been running into this. It's a bit of an epidemic these days. Not sure why, but trades and construction is especially bad with people don't return phone calls. They do a crappy job. They disappear with your deposit. You know, there's all kinds of horror stories out there. And so if you want to be the company that people recommend, you need to earn that spot and be the company, right?
Definitely. And I think you need to be, you know, in the trades, I don't think this should be very difficult. You don't have to be amazing. You just have to be a little bit better than the next worst guy.
Yeah.
So show up on the day you say you will, and you got me.
Like, yeah, and like just not an hour late, like show benefit. Up 10 minutes late. Oh my God, that's great. Yeah, no problem.
Right. Now if you show up on the day you say you're going to come on time and your shirt's tucked in, I might ask you to just live here.
Yeah.
I mean, it is that frustrating sometimes to get these people to come to the house. And
yep.
So providing decent customer service, you know, I know we harp on this a lot, but yeah, return a phone call. Or if you really, really want to impress someone, after the job is all the way complete, call them in 3 weeks and say, hey, how are you enjoying that deck yet? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I noticed we had a nice day. I hope you're sitting out there with a glass of wine right now.
Or if you're the carpenter who built the deck for the Joneses and you know what a mess they're in the middle of with their remodeling, the first nice day, maybe have a nice barbecue grill delivered and stuck on their desk, on their deck.
Or even just a six-pack of beer. I mean, yeah. My standards are low. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, if you go out of your way to earn that that trust from your community, they'll reward you, but man, you got to earn it. You got to be consistent. Come on, people.
And especially with a client like us, where mm-hmm. you built the deck knowing darn well that we were seeing what kind of job you did, because we have 74 other woodworking jobs that need to be done, but we didn't want to start with one that required structural integrity.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So, you know, there's a lot you can do there that's just being courteous and aware of what your customer's situation is, what another business partner's situation is. I actually introduced my carpenter to my electrician, and now they're doing jobs together.
Right.
So that made me really happy, except now they're both really busy, and I'm like, you need to come back and work on my house again.
For sure. And I think there's even room there to collaborate with competition. You know, there's this kind of pervasive attitude that competitors hate each other. And I don't think that that does anybody any good. I think it's a lot of wasted energy. And so there are a lot of fun marketing things you can do that collaborate with your competition. Maybe you have like a fundraising challenge with your competitor, like who can raise the most money for Make-A-Wish or Toys for Tots or whatever in your local community. Maybe you do a fitness challenge with your competitor and, you know, track everybody's steps online on an app that shows up on their social media or whatever, or, you know, some good-natured ribbing about who the lazy plumbers are because they don't walk enough steps a day, and, you know, some fun stuff like that. You can totally get press and, you know, build a good warm, fuzzy feeling in your community if you're not trash-talking. I think you can... There's always going to be people who don't get along, and I totally get it. But nobody is served by trash talking their competition, I don't think. I think it makes the person trash talking look bad, and I think it makes the person you're talking about look bad, and nobody wins in that situation.
I agree, and you're not elevating anything by doing that. You know, I think some people think if they do that, it makes them look better, and I am so turned off by that.
Yep. I agree.
You know, the friendly competition also shows your community that you're real people. Mm-hmm. You know, it humanizes your business. And, you know, to capitalize on some of that, like you said, do a fundraising challenge, but then the loser has to work for the winner for a day. Or,
yep. Or wear the winner's shirts for a day, or, you know, something silly.
Or build a house together for Habitat for Humanity. It doesn't have to be a contest. You know, it can be, hey, we're teaming up with these guys down the street to show you that some things are more important than competing for business dollars.
Yep. I think that's a great angle. That's a good hook for sure.
You know, I know you've heard me talk about my cupcake place here. they heard that another local baker was going to have to close down their business because they had to have foot surgery and couldn't be, you know, on their feet all day baking. And so the last week they were open, the cupcake shop that I frequented at the time said, hey, you guys, I don't want anybody to come in this week. I want you all to go. We want to sell them out every day this week because they're going to be off their feet for a while and they're going to really need that love. And I thought that was really, really cool. They deliberately drove business to the competition, and I would bet you that their profits probably increased substantially after that.
For sure, because the community, you know, got the impression that, and it's not a false impression, it's a true impression, that they truly care about the other people and businesses in their community. And I think if you really care, and if people know you're sincere, you're going to go a long way.
Yeah, warm fuzzy it up, guys. Come on.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and, you know, another way you can do this is, we've all met a client that we didn't mesh well with.
For sure.
You know, why make yourself miserable working with a customer or a client that you don't fit well with? Send them to the competition. I guess that could either be really insulting or appreciated, depending on the client. But, you know, if you know that your client might hit it off with someone who does what you do and you don't feel like you hit it off with them, say, hey, I've got this colleague that I really think you would like to talk to, and set up an introduction.
Or maybe your pipeline's full and you can't help them, but that doesn't mean they don't deserve help, right? Like,
exactly.
I can't get to you. I'm sorry. I'm just too busy. But I really trust so-and-so down the street. You know, they do the same thing I do. Yes, we're competitors, but they do good work. And, you know, tell them I sent you, kind of thing.
I've gotten some of my best clients that way because mm-hmm. they come to you with a whole lot of trust.
Right. Because you know, they have that personal recommendation. The people that they picked recommended you, right?
Y'all see what's happening here? It's a big circle. Everything we talk about fits in the circle.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, go back to episode one. Start over again.
Right? But really, it goes, be honest, be genuine, do a good mm-hmm. job. If you're not those things, why are you in the business that you're in? If you hate what you do, if you hate your customers, if you hate your competition, you're probably yep. not where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, you know, I read an article. It was from somebody in our industry. She wrote, she was getting ready to leave a company that she'd helped build. And she wrote an article, and her topic was know when to pivot and know when to persevere. And yeah. I think that's such a valuable lesson for any business to know. No one, like, you know, I hate my job. I don't like doing this. It's time to pivot. Or, you know what? It's just a tough time. We're super busy. We're going to partner with somebody down the street. We're going to share business for a little while. We're going to persevere because we know we're making a difference. You know, there are different times in a business's life when it might be time to persevere, or it might be time to pivot. It might be time to say, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I can't keep the personnel. I don't like doing it. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why it might not work out. But you got to take your community and your base with you when you do that. See episode 17 prior to this one.
Yes, those lessons. And I'm really going to show my age here, but when you were talking about pivoting or persevering, I was hearing that Kenny Rogers song.
Know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Yes. Your age, girl. What are you, like 10 years younger than me?
I'm going to take my Geritol and go to bed now.
Yeah, it's past my bedtime.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I probably should just kept my mouth shut on that one. I see that a lot, too. It comes right out.
On that note, I think we've beat this one to death.
I'm gonna go hide in a corner somewhere and go.
Thank you everybody for joining us for this episode of the Community Karma Podcast. As always, we love your feedback. Facebook, Twitter, on our blog. If you would like to leave a review at your favorite podcasting app, we would greatly appreciate it. You know, and if you want to continue the conversation or have more questions, reach out to us there as well. We love to talk about this stuff if you haven't figured that out yet. So we will talk to everybody next time. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe via iTunes, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to sign up for reminders via the website communitykarmapodcast.com. See you next time.